Hey guys, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going? So we're sitting here in a really beautiful location today.
Yeah, I'm loving this picture window.
Yeah, we're kind of just chilling, having some coffee and looking at the waves coming up on shore of Lake Havasu.
Yeah, and Lake Havasu State Park is definitely one of our favorites for lots of reasons. One of them is the really awesome manager here, who is Dan Roddy. How's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you guys for having me on the podcast today.
We're happy to have you here.
We are. And Dan, you know, you're a great guy to talk to about a lot of things park related because you've got over 20 years parks experience.
I do. I've been fortunate enough, probably more than 20 years if I go back to my teenage years of working at the pool in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. But I've worked at urban park systems and I've been out here in Arizona with the Arizona State Parks for the last 4 years. And it's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great place to work. I mean, even from our end at the central office, we don't get to, be out here at a beautiful park every day on a lake, though.
Yeah, it's kind of nice for me to say welcome to my office as we're looking out the picture window at the white sand beach and the lake and watching this fisherman go by and see what he catches today. So it is something where you got to remind yourself of how fortunate you are to be surrounded with these environmental gems and have the responsibility of being the steward on behalf of the people. And it's great.
When we got here yesterday, Dan took it upon himself to give us like the grand tour of this place.
We got an awesome tour yesterday. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much shoreline this lake has. It seems huge, this park.
You know, it's over 900 acres, but the biggest feature is definitely the 2.5 miles of shoreline. And we have put a lot of that to great use. We have some natural areas that have been untouched, some shoreline that's still very rugged. We also have 4 boat ramps that are all a little bit different, so it appeals to all kinds of watercrafts and people that are looking to go out. Everything from non-motorized equipment to the jet boats, jet skis, up to bigger boats that can get on the lake. And anybody familiar with Lake Havasu will know about the big motorboats, the different things that we bring to this community. So we have something for everybody. We also have added white sand beaches throughout the property, not only in our campground area, but here in our new cabin loop area. That's a great feature that we've brought in.
Yeah, and we're sitting here in the cabin and the view is unmatched. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, the birds alone. Like, I saw a bunch of red-winged blackbirds today. Yeah. And they're
the birds alone. That's our new, that's going to be our new slogan.
Well, when there's a lot of them.
Come to our parks. The birds alone make up for it.
And that's one of the neat things, having the experience of having been at several different parks in my 4 years here. I have seen the difference in wildlife from property to property. And that's one of the things that I'm sure we'd encourage the people to get out and see in the various regions of our state at the different parks. You will see quite a difference in the landscape, the wildlife, the birds, all those different aspects that each unique park offers. It's something here where, for example, when you talk about the birds here along our shoreline, when we put in the beaches that we did here in the Cabin Loop area, for example, we had to work around and maintain certain wetland areas. And I think we've done that in a very responsible and very attractive way that still maintains that so that people can be very close to that without having to worry about, did we encroach too much on the habitat?
Well, yeah. And I mean, it adds to the experience because you can look out the window and see these giant cattails and all the birds and animals that associate with them right out your window. And I mean, and these cabins are positioned facing west, so the sunsets here are absolutely gorgeous as well.
Oh, they are not to be missed, for sure.
Yeah. Glad you liked it. Yeah, it's definitely a plus, and it was well thought out in the layout. And those are the things that we like to believe we're taking care of when we plan these things. You know, our individual parks are so important to the local communities, the economic impact that we bring to them. But we need the visitors to complete that equation.
Right.
We need to have people come out, enjoy these facilities, learn how to be out in the outdoors. I think one of our key components of our mission is to be a leader in outdoor recreation and do it responsibly. And we need the people to come out and do that to help us along that path.
and you get a different types of customers. I mean, Lake Havasu is kind of known for the parties that can be here, but there's a diverse type of customers that come to this park. And something that I've really noticed this trip, and I'm thinking Randy can back me up on this too, is it's just a chill vibe this whole trip. I mean, it's really been relaxing and laid back.
Oh yeah, like yesterday we just sat by the campfire in the evening, we watched the sunset, we kind of laid it back for a little while, and that was really nice.
Oh yeah, and it was nice and quiet. You could hear in the evening the birds, the waves hitting the shore.
Waves coming in, that was beautiful. Yeah,
just really relaxing, serene atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and in the park business, for example, we're very fortunate here at Lake Havasu State Park with the fact that we are busy. We draw over 500,000 visitors every year, but we're drawing visitors throughout the year. We definitely have the boating community that's out here in force. The warm weather, get out on the lake, bring your friends, have a great day, have a good time. We see a lot of that. That's at a very strong segment, summer months, things of that nature. We transition from that, as you're seeing right now, into more of the campground aspect. We have beautiful camping sites here. We have the new cabins here. It's something where that's a different type of customer, different clientele that's looking for a different experience. We're fortunate in that we offer both here. And we supplement that, and not so much now during the COVID time, but we supplement that with the special events that we bring in. If you look at certain things, for regardless of what your interests are, we are the largest venue for certain events. The Rockabilly event in February, the largest Rockabilly event west of the Mississippi. Bluegrass on the Beach, the largest event in the region for that genre. Mm-hmm. We supplement that with the Buses by the Bridge, the VW collectors that come out. Those are all the largest event of what they represent. And we're fortunate we can welcome those people. Again, going back to the impact that makes and the viability it gives us as a park operation to be able to rely on that year-round business. We're able to keep staff year-round. We're able to plan year-round. We're able to keep working year-round to pursue those continuous improvements that make it a better experience overall.
Yeah, definitely. And you did mention COVID and how we mm-hmm. kind of scaled back the events that are going on. How can visitors be aware of that and take precautions to still have a great time, even though things are a little different now?
They are. And again, it's getting back into the, what are the things that we've incorporated in our homes and lives? Are we carrying hand sanitizer around? Are we bringing our mask with us? Are we making sure that we adhere to social distance? One of the great things that we try when people ask that question, we ask, be a good neighbor. What does that mean? Take care of yourself, but also look out for the person next to you. And that's what we ask for. Every visitor to our park is given a handout that, you know, reinforces that, talks about those key components. We're not following people around. You're outdoor recreating. You know, that's one of the essential activities, according to our governor. We're very thrilled for that, and we support it. And we ask people to do the same. Keep in mind, safety first. Bring your hand sanitizer. Bring your wipes, things like that. Our staff, for our part, we're doing all that and more. We have regular routine cleanings that we do. We've upped the number of times per day we do that. We've added extra steps with certain products to make sure that we are adhering to that. And we've been very successful with it. I mean, we're fortunate in our aspect. We've been open, welcoming visitors every single day. And we want to continue to do that. And part of that, we'll be able to do that.
One thing I've noticed, not only at this park, which does a really good job at it, and all the parks up and down the Colorado and any that I've been to since COVID times, is how closely they're paying attention to the detail of cleaning. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this place is very clean. And this morning, we're just kind of chilling before the podcast, and we see just a random park visitors walking down and cleaning up too. So, I mean, I think that by leading by example and keeping the park clean is kind of catching on with some of the customers too.
It definitely is. People are better prepared now, and a well-informed customer is your best customer. We look to that from the park patrons. We also try to make sure that the staff, and we couldn't do what we do without the exceptional staff. So all the things that you see and observe are because we have a great team, and we work very hard to keep that great team and make sure they are appreciated. Those are things that again, going back to the good neighbor approach, we're trying to lead by example, do the best we can. We want people to come out and have a great time and a great experience here. We want them to come back more than once. And those are our goals. And that's something that we strive to achieve. And we like to think by doing this and taking care of those things, people will notice. I believe they do. And we try to put that forward.
I love that. And it definitely ties back into, we just wrapped up our Recreate Responsibly mini-sode series of just being a good neighbor and, like you said, leading by example. And the Rangers here have done a really wonderful job of that, and it shows.
Well, we appreciate that. And when you look at the Recreate Responsibly, one of the big tenets of that is the being prepared and doing a little homework. Are you, if you're planning a trip to one of our state parks, are you planning ahead a little bit? For example, we all like to take our dogs to the parks. What are the local rules at that park? For example, here at Lake Havasu State Park, pets can't be on our white sand beaches. Well, a lot of our shoreline, is white sand beach. There are areas of the park where you can get your dog along the water line and get in the water and things like that, but not everywhere. So knowing that in advance and knowing that the pets need to be on leash is a great example of being prepared, because every park is going to be a little different on what you can or can't do when you bring your pet. Same scenario. What are you bringing with you? Have you planned ahead? Do you have everything you need? What's the local fire restriction? You know, it's going to be different here than it will be at Tonto Natural Bridge State Park. Good rule of thumb is, did you bring your own firewood? Did you buy firewood locally? Because keep in mind, you can't gather firewood in the park. I know when I was a scout and younger, one of the things we did is we went out and searched for firewood. That's not an acceptable practice anymore because it impacts on the natural environment. Part of our mission is to protect that natural environment. Same scenario of, is it okay if I go out and collect this, collect that? Unfortunately, no, you can't do that in our parks. And while it might impact what our memories of what we did when we were kids, I'm sure we all realize, for example, seat belts used to not be required when I was a kid. Right. You two are a little younger than I am. But things change for the better. Right. And these are changes for the better. And by doing a little homework in advance and asking yourself that question before you come out, you're going to have a better day.
And that's such a great point about not, you know, taking things with you. Because we kind of push the narrative of to take pictures and leave footprints. You
know? Great idea. Yeah. Great way to put it.
Because you want everybody to have that same experience you had, because if it's something that you enjoyed so much coming out to visit a park or their natural area, then you would hope that other people were to enjoy that too.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Tonto Natural Bridge, which you used to manage. Can you tell us a little bit about the differences between the parks you've managed over the last few years?
Well, I think we talked a little bit about the wildlife differences. You know, at Tonto, you've got a resident herd of javelina as well as deer. That almost as if they have programmed showtimes. They're always around for the public to see. And part of that is the climate, the elevation, the area that they're in. And the greatest thing about Tonto Natural Bridge that I think, it's proximity to the valley. You can make a day trip up to Tonto very easily. It's a great place to visit. I know they've got a lot of great things going on there right now with some remodeling and rebuilding that we're all anticipating being done in the near future. But if you're in the Phoenix area, it's about an hour, hour and a half away, depending on what part you're in. I've experienced visitors going up there just to experience snow. I've seen people get up there because it's going to be 15 to 20 degrees cooler. It's a great place to visit. Beautiful small town. When you roll into Payson, Arizona, you're looking at it from the hillside thinking, okay, this is a movie setting. Mm-hmm. And it really is. Now, is it going to be a Hallmark movie or a horror movie? I'll leave that to you to decide. But it's one of those things that it's such a fantastic day trip that it's something that I wish more people knew about. But they do a great job there and continue to make improvements there as well.
And I've seen the wildlife at that park every visit I've taken there.
Yeah.
The whitetails and the javelina especially. And the Cudamundis are also up there.
Yeah,
have you ever seen one, Dan?
I have not. I've not personally seen a Cudamundi. A lot of pictures. A lot of pictures. A lot of reports. But that's the one, when I look at the box of what I didn't accomplish, I did not actually lay eyes on a Cudamundi. But I'm hopeful that on one of my trips in that area, I'll get a chance.
Yeah, you got to keep it on your list. Like, yes. I had egrets on my list for this trip out to Lake Havasu, and Dan delivered. And that's one thing we can say is Dan delivers. When you come to Lake Havasu, you get what you came for.
We like to believe we do. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Dan, we really appreciate you being on today, man. It's been a pleasure to visit your park and learn a few of the intricacies about how you manage this place. And I think you're doing an awesome job.
Well, thank you. And again, anybody that wants to look, we're at azstateparks.com. the Lake Havasu State Park webpage, get a little of that background, make reservations to come out and see us if you'd like. While the events are on pause, we're hopeful that if things calm down come springtime, we might be able to release that list of special events. So we're keeping our fingers crossed and looking forward to a great future. So thank you both for coming out here today. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.